as it's been happening like recently, I've been allowed by God less and less time to like prepare the thing that I'm going to say, which is good in a way because I don't really have a chance to it's good in a way because I say what I'm told to say. But you see me at the start, like looking like I don't know what to say, which is sort of true. But anyway, first thing that I want to say, I want to read out, this is what Jesus said to Paul when Jesus was in prison, sent him into heaven. Jesus appeared to Saul after that Saul was converted. But this is what Jesus said to Paul, which was after all the stuff Jesus said to the disciples. This is what Jesus said to Paul about what Jesus wanted Paul to do. Jesus said, I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, who you persecute. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things unto which I will appear unto thee, and delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Now, Jesus said the purpose of him sending Paul to preach the gospel was for those people to receive the forgiveness of sin and the inheritance which belongs to those that are sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. So, you know, it's often preached that the gospel is, so you can have your sins forgiven. And Paul said to the Romans, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, to the Jew first and the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And what he means is it's preached in faith, it's received by faith. But he said, he's not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation, that is to be saved from your sin. But within the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. So it's being saved, and then there's something to do with the righteousness of God. When Paul spoke to the Corinthians, he said, being in Christ Jesus, they receive wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So he said, in Christ, they receive a righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Redemption is being saved, but also, he says, as well as being saved, there's righteousness amongst them, a righteousness and sanctification. Jesus said, he sent Paul to preach the gospel so that people may receive the forgiveness of sins that is saved and receive the inheritance that is amongst those that are sanctified. So he talked about two things other than being your sins forgiven, that was an inheritance, and he said that the group of believers are those that are sanctified. And they got in the piece of scripture that said, Paul said to the Romans, he said, "It's not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation." And he said, "To them that believe, for them is the righteousness of God revealed." So Jesus said, for a Christian, they would receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance. Paul said that they would receive redemption plus the righteousness of God. So that's the thing that I want to say. There's more to being a Christian than having sins forgiven, which is what I've talked about the last 2 months. But I wanted to say, I'm going to start speaking by that thing that Jesus said to Paul, because that was Jesus said to that, after all the stuff he said to the disciples, when he descended into heaven, that was the vision Jesus appeared to Paul, summing up quite clearly what his job for Paul was. And he said in that, when the gospel is preached, people receive the forgiveness of sins, but also they have an inheritance, which means they, along with getting their sins forgiven, there's a whole package of stuff that is theirs, because when they believe Christ died for the sins, they get born again. They become a son of God. Paul used the word son, and it was relevant for that time. All sons inherited what the father had. So when the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, in male and female, to believe Christ died for their sins. So Paul said there's an inheritance for those who become sons of God, sons and daughters of God. And he spends most of his time in his adoption father's letter saying what that inheritance is. And So what I've been saying to you about the last couple of months. So I want to sum up what our inheritance is, and then I want to tell you where it says a different piece of the scripture to think. So according to Paul, when you believe Christ died for your sins, like Paul uses the phrase in Christ like absolutely loads, and it's not just an analogy or a phrase that you use. It's like forensically means something, that some part of him is in Christ. So according to Paul, when you believe Christ died for your sins, his spirit was joined to Christ. So Paul was born a man, a body, soul and spirit. So his soul inhabits a physical body, and Paul says that the soul's made up by the centre of the soul's a spirit. Then the spirit has like appendages, like on the outside of the soul is the mind, the will and the emotions. So that's what makes a poor soul, and a poor soul inhabits him, because a poor soul inhabits his body. And Paul spoke to the Corinthians. He said, Paul said, he that is joined into the Lord is one spirit within. Again, that it's not all Paul, all the stuff Paul said, all scripture, but it's all literature. It all actually means it. It's not fluffy analogies that can be used to tell a person how to live a life. It all means actually what it says. So when Paul says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him, there is something physically or spiritually true, that it means something, alright? So according to Paul's doctrine, when somebody believes Christ died for sins, their spirit gets made in union with Christ. Paul said to the Corinthians that when they believe Christ died for sins, the Holy Spirit baptizes them into Christ. So he gets hold of their spirit and he immerses them into Christ. And that's how this in Christ thing, instead of being in Adam before, the spirit, they get joined in spirit with Christ. Now, I want to read out what Paul says to the Colossians, because he says a consequence of being baptized into Christ. This is what Paul says. He says, for in him, that is Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, whereon also you were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Right. Paul says that he died with Christ and he was raised with Christ. Now again, like, it's literally true. He's talking about something that actually happened. So he says you're baptized into Christ when you believe, but he said you died with Christ. That is actually spiritually true with you. And what happens is, like, your spirit was joined to Christ on the cross. Like, and Paul says in Ephesians that union is that union is the original marriage union of Christ and his church. And you are individual members of the church. And Paul said that marriage union, Christ is the head, and the female part of that marriage union, the church, you being an individual member of it, is the female part, and the female part is subject to the head part, which means that when your spirit was joined to Christ on the cross, he got your sin and you got his righteousness, just like the copy that someone being married in crew last week. The person says, what's mine is yours, what yours is mine. Well, Christ got what was yours on the cross, he got your sin. According to Paul, he got his righteousness, right? That was a transaction that made. Then, like, being joined in Christ, you died with Christ. And then according to Paul, you got raised with Christ. So loads of things came from that spiritual union. You got Christ in, Christ got your righteousness, then you died. According to Hebrews, it says it's appointed a man wants to die and wants to face judgment. According to Paul, when you died with Christ, God then declared on your account, and so your account is full of Christ's righteousness. And he declared you righteous, which is why Paul says justified by faith, you were declared righteous. So thing I'm doing is frantically saying step by step what happened to show you where your inheritance, this big package of stuff that you got when you believed, it all came from. So you got Christ saying, Christ got you righteous, then you died with Christ. God judged your account and says, I judge that person to be righteous, because you got the righteousness of Christ. See? Then you got raised from the dead. Your spirit died, got raised with Christ, and this time your spirit, instead of born of a sinful nature, your spirit, your inside part, was born of a holy nature. And that is where the phrase like born again comes from. And that is why you're called a saint, which means one sanctified, set apart, made holy. Your spirit was made of a different nature when you got born the second time. However, that's the only part that's born again. Your body is still sinful, and your mind, will, and emotions, they weren't born again. If they were born again, you would not. Well, if they were born again, all your thoughts would be completely whole. So, according to Paul, your spirit was born again. So, you died with Christ, you got raised with Christ. You're born again. But Paul says that is one consequence as well. And that thing in Colossians, he says, you've put off the body of the sins of the flesh. So you were body, soul, and spirit, all sinful all the way through. Then you're sent apart, died with Christ, got raised with Christ. That became holy. Now, there's like a spin-off from that, which is not really just a spin-off. It's like, Paul says that means that you and the remainder of your flesh are now separate. Like, Paul says, effectively, you've cut off your sinful flesh. You still have your sinful flesh, but effectively you, the I that God considers the you. Paul says your old man died, that means your old person, total person, dead, because the sense of that person died. You got born again in Christ, God considers you a new creation. But it's only the spirit that's born again. That means your sinful flesh hasn't died, but you have died to your sinful flesh. So from the perspective of your sinful flesh, it's now dead to your flesh. Paul says effectively, you can speak about it as though your flesh died. Your flesh didn't die, but you died to it. But he goes, because of that, because you died to your sinful flesh, God does not accredit the sinfulness of your sinful flesh to your account anymore. And thereby, the righteousness that you got when you first believed, it's sealed. It's like, God just didn't declare you righteous, and then, well, it's either up to you to keep a good account that you can spoil, or the second more popular doctrine, which is you're righteous, then you sin on and off, and you say sorry, and every time you say sorry, you wipe it away. That's not in the Word of God, that's doctrine. That's not what Paul spends all his time talking about. That's not the thing. It's not the thing. And it's like, I don't care about how that sounds compared to the established church. It's not a true doctrine. The true doctrine is, you put off your sinful flesh, and you stand as righteous before God, and something happened when you put off your sinful flesh, where God does not accredit the sin of your sinful flesh to your account anymore. The righteousness that you have is sealed. Now, most people who go to the established church, even if they haven't heard that doctrine, they still in effect know it's true. Because they know. They get hit by a bus before the last time they said sorry for all the stuff they think they've done. They're still in. right? So how can they still be in if they haven't gone through and said sorry for all the stuff? And it's like, you know, the doctrine's ridiculous that you have to say sorry in order to wipe all the black marks off it. It's not Paul's doctrine. There's the milk of the gospel that you get your sin forgiven, but there's the meat of the gospel that you stay righteous before God. And that is a big thing, because basically your righteousness is sealed, you cannot spoil it. That's why Paul says doctrine is the flow after that. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, but not even you. You can't sin your way to mark yourself black against God. According to Paul, let your righteousness be sealed and it stayed sealed. Paul says to the Romans, he says, therefore there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you walk not after the Spirit, if you walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. No, like condemnation is there's no guilty judgment for that are in Christ Jesus. Like, which means that when you walk around, irrespective of what you do, at no point is there a guilty judgment by God on you. Like, that's what it says. Like, I don't care if it sounds reasonably true. But that's what it says. That's how God, when you wanted your sin forgiveness, forgave your sin in a completely watertight way. Like, you didn't just get your sin forgiven, and he leaves it up to you to keep it up. Or he's got a method for you to say sorry, get it wiped clean, get it wiped clean. And it goes backwards and forwards. You go spotted, unspotted, spotted, unspotted. It's like, when he forgave your sin, he did it in a way that's absolutely watertight. He gave you the righteousness of Christ, and then he killed your person, and he cut off your account, and you can't add to it anymore because the old you's dead. And so you still have sinful flesh. It's not accredited to your account. And you stay, that righteousness is sealed. That is how you can come. That's what Paul says, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Like he said, the reason you got peace with God is you're justified by faith. There's a question, well, you're justified by faith when you believe, but what about all the time since? That's not a factor when he goes, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The only thing, as far as he's concerned, that you are actually at peace with God, complete peace with God, is the fact that you were justified by faith. So that justification, that initial declared righteous, must stick. And I'm telling you the way that it sticks. I'm telling you the way that you can't dirty, you can't soil. You get a piece of paper that says you're righteous, and then it gets laminated, basically. The lamination is there's a cutting off between you and your sinful flesh. You are not it anymore. You die to it, you actually die. A lot of Christians reckon that they won't sin when they're dead. If they get tormented by Satan, go, oh, I sin, sorry. I condemn, and they go, they're pleased when they're dead, because at least they won't annoy God anymore, they won't sin anymore. According to Paul, this is the thing I'm saying, you are actually dead. That thing, you dying and you not be able to sin anymore, that's the thing that Paul says has happened. Like, that's the thing that he says has happened. He says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. Offer yourselves as instruments of righteousness to God. Now I've been told to speak about this because, like, when I originally heard it, it looks like it says, consider yourself dead to sin, like you don't actually want to sin anymore, and now present yourselves as instruments of righteousness to God. Try to be righteous. That's quite reasonable what it looks like it says, but the righteousness that Paul's talking about in the previous chapter, in chapter 5, he's saying about receiving the gift of righteousness. And then he says, that's the righteousness he's talking about. So when Paul says, go up to God and present yourselves as instruments of righteousness, it's not trying to be righteous, it's go up to God and say, God, like, I'm righteous. Which you're allowed to do, because that righteousness is righteous from Christ. And it's not, that's massively a faith. You go up to God and say, despite what Satan's battered me with during the day, I'm coming to you and I'm saying I'm righteous. So none of that stuff stuck. So he says, reckon yourselves dead to sin, but present yourselves instruments of righteousness to God. Reckon yourself dead to sin is the sin in your flesh, right? Treat it as though you're dead to it. Not treat it as though you're dead to it because you're not actually dead to it. Treat it as though you're dead to it because you actually are. Therefore, don't spend your time trying to keep it under control. Because in that same thing in Paul, he says, there's one thing you can do to make sin rise up, and that's put yourself under the law. Paul said, sin will not have dominion in you. Sin will not reign in you because you're not under the law but under grace. And in the Corinthians, Paul says, the law is the power of sin. Paul says, you are righteous because of what Christ done in you. In Romans 8, he says, the law of the spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. There's a law of sin that operates within your members, right? If you put yourself under the law, it rises up. Paul said, that is the law. You put yourself, that is the law that operates in you. But Paul said, you've been rescued from that law of sin operating in you by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Paul says, there's a way that you can rise above the sinfulness in your flesh, and that is the Holy Spirit is a new law that acts on top of it. Like, there's a law of gravity for a plane, but if there's a greater law that operates around it, like flight, then it can fly. So one, Paul says, if you try to keep your flesh under the law, you try to make it behave, you won't be able to succeed. Paul said, your flesh is at war with your, Paul said to Romans 8, the flesh is at enmity with God, it does not please God, nor can it do so. So, like, some Christians spend, you know, years realizing that, like, they can't make their flesh not sinful. It's like, Paul says, I give you for free, you don't need to spend years doing it. He says, the flesh is at enmity with God, that means the flesh is at war with God, it does not please God, nor can it do so. You cannot please God with your flesh. However, you can stand in faith in the righteousness of God, knowing that you don't need to please God in the flesh, because you're already righteous. And Paul says, when you do that, then a law of spirit of life, according to the grace given to you, will override the law of sin in your members and will cause you to bear fruit. So Paul has answers for different things. Regarding your righteousness, regarding you being at peace with God, God accepting you, you're already righteous and it's sealed and you can't spoil it. You do have sinful flesh, but it's not, the sinfulness of your flesh is not accredited to your account. If you don't believe that, and you try to keep your flesh under control, and you put yourself under law because you doubt that you're actually righteous, Paul says, the one thing will happen, and that was sin will rise up. Paul said in Romans 7, he says, when I try to do good, I find the law that evil is present with me. He says he can't do it. He can't do it properly. And even if he thinks he can do good for a while, he doesn't actually want to do it. He doesn't actually mean it all the way through. So it's not actually good. Paul says you're meant to reckon yourself dead to sin. Go, no, that sin, right, is not me, and it doesn't add to my account. I don't need to spend my time trying to keep it under control. In fact, Paul says if I do, it will make it worse. Paul says, you've meant to treat your sin as dead, as though you haven't got sinful flesh. Right? Like, because that is the reasonable way to treat you if you actually are dead. And the Holy Spirit will then override the law of sin in you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. So that's the thing. So that is what I want to say. The milk of the gospel, you get sin forgiven, but the meat of the gospel is that not only do you get your sin forgiven, you get the righteousness of Christ to your account. That righteousness gets sealed, and thereby you can't spoil that account anymore, and you don't need to try to please God. And what Paul encourages you to do is stand upon the righteousness of God, and you glorify God by standing upon the righteousness of God. That's how you glorify God. And Paul said, yield your members servants. He said, yield your members servants of righteousness as your fruit unto holiness. Now, like, that word holiness, like, all the times I've heard the word holiness, it's basically general teaching established churches that your righteousness is something positional. That, yeah, if you get knocked down by a bus, that's the bank account that counts. But as you're walking around, there's another bank account that counts, and that's your holiness. I don't know why they chose to separate the two from the start. But that's false. This thing that you bank on when you die, that is the thing that follows you around all the time. That is not just bank on when you're dead. That is the thing that God actually sees you as righteous as you walk around. And Paul does talk about holiness, holy behaviour, but holiness is not trying to add to the righteousness of God, because that is not a faith. Holiness is standing on the righteousness of God. Paul said, if you want to bear fruit unto holiness, you want to bear fruit that is that you actually do something and you walk around and you actually bear fruit as you walk around. This fruit unto holiness is yielding your members instruments of righteousness to God, going up to God and going, God, I am righteous. I don't need to try to be righteous. I stand upon my righteousness when Satan attacks me, says I'm not righteous. When I do that, the angels and demons see that, and God gets glorified. And that is a fruit unto holiness. You glorify God, and that is your fruit. That is the fruit of a sanctified one. And you stand upon the righteousness of God. So holiness is you standing upon the righteousness of God, not you trying to add to your own righteousness. And just to say the same thing from a different point of view, the word obedience is often used. You should be obedient to, well, not the law, but what Paul encourages people to do at the end of scriptures, which is a wise way to walk. But that's different to righteousness. And all the times Paul uses obedient, he's obedient twice. Once in Romans, he said, you were obedient to the gospel. And once in Galatians, he said, who stopped you, O foolish Galatians, from obedient to the truth? The obedient that Paul talks about is obedient to the truth. It's obedient to the gospel, but the gospel is you're righteous by faith. So if you want to walk around obedient, it's obedient to that God has told you that you're righteous. You don't need to add to your righteousness by trying to do good stuff. You stand up on the righteousness of God. That is fruitful to holiness, that is you being obedient to God. That's it. That's it. That is holiness, that is obedience, according to Paul, according to the gospel. And it only glorifies God. You stand up on the righteousness of God, only glorifies God. This way I'm talking about only glorifies God. And from all the people, according to Paul, that is the only way you can actually, if you want to keep this stuff, if you want to walk in a way that Paul says is wise, free fornication, stuff like that, Paul says that is what's wise behavior. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in you one way. Encourages you, do not walk against the way of the Holy Spirit. He says it's a wise way for you to live. But Paul says, if you want the Holy Spirit to work in you, to bear those fruits of goodness in you, then do not put yourself under the law. You being a portion, a certain amount of faith, a certain amount of grace, the Holy Spirit will operate as a law within you. If you want those fruit to be popped out in you, then don't put yourself under the law. That's the one thing you can do to mess it up. If you put yourself under the law, the Holy Spirit goes, right, you think you can do a good job, and you try to do it, and I'll see you in 2 weeks' time when you realise that you can't do it. And he doesn't do it as a not nice thing. It's the Holy Spirit guiding you. And some people have learned that easy way or the hard way, 2 weeks, 2 years. So secondary to the first witness, Paul said, you stand up on the righteousness of God, that is fruit of holiness. And the second witness to that is the alternative method, Paul says don't do, which is put yourself under the law. But that third thing that I want to say is, from my experience in overseeing people, the only way that the fruit in them is increased is when they don't put themselves under the law. I oversee somebody that has taken drugs. there's no point saying don't take drugs. There isn't, doesn't work, but there is a point in saying, look, you want to take drugs, you take drugs. I'm telling you, it's not a wise thing for you to do. But don't put yourself under the law about it. If you want to take them, take them. Right now, when I said that, two people that I've said, as soon as I said, if you want to take them, take them, they go, but I don't want to. I'm like, that's the thing, I know you don't want to. The Holy Spirit's already working in you, but if you go away with trying to please God, you just put yourself under the law. But they go, I don't want to take them. And I said, I know you don't want to take them. And my thing to you, take them if you want. It's not, I said take them if you want, but it's wise not to. It's like, it frees them from the law, but then it defines, but don't do it. And in those circumstances where they are free and they're not trying to please God, not take drugs for their righteousness, they're free from trying to do it. And the Holy Spirit just flows through them to the max. And they don't, basically, they don't take drugs. But they stop, I've seen it. I've seen it a lot of times. So, and parents might have thought they say similar things to the kids, and it's only because each kid has their sinful flesh. The flesh works the same thing. Put somebody in the kitchen and say, I'll be back in a minute, but whatever you do, don't look in that drawer. They didn't want to look in the drawer until they're told not to look in the drawer. And it's the way the flesh is told not to do. Paul says, put yourself under the law, sin rises up. He didn't rise up. Paul said he didn't know what it was to be jealous until he heard that he wasn't meant to be jealous. And then he was jealous of everything. So I chose the words carefully. Paul says twice to not take drugs and stuff like that. I'm just saying, you're not meant to put yourself in the law. You're righteous anyway. And the way of the Holy Spirit flowing in you, and max according to the grace given to you, is for you to stand upon the righteousness of God and go, you did not need to move to try to please God for righteousness. You've already got it. That is the max way of bearing a good type of fruit. But the holiness fruit, the thing that I spoke about last week that not only glorifies God but builds up as your reward, those things, Paul says, are standing upon the righteousness of God, glorifying God. They are building with precious stones, silver and gold, instead of building with wood, hay and straw. And he said the test is to be tested by the fire. Wood, hay and straw are natural. People can build with them all they want. They can spend their life, 2 years, 3 years, trying to please God with all different projects and stuff like that. But Paul says, if it's from you, if it's you trying to do it, it's wood, hay and straw, and nothing will be left of that. It doesn't glorify God. It doesn't glorify God in your reward. It's not. That's you working. It's nothing to do with God. But Paul says, there is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Once you are in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. That's another part of the inheritance. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Paul said he dwells within you, to the Galatians, because it's the promise that God promised to Abraham, that in Abraham's seed were the nations to be blessed. Paul said that seed was Christ. If you get baptized into Christ, you become partakers of that promise. You get made righteous, like I've said, but you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only lands on somebody and draws them to someone that's righteous. So the sign that you have the Holy Spirit is a sign that you're righteous. The Holy Spirit, God doesn't dwell anywhere that's not righteous, and so you have completely been cleaned up. He actually dwells within a righteous vessel. The law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So if you're in Christ Jesus, there is a law that works within you. And it's not a law, it's a law, it's not something only works in you if you work. It's a law. It's like the law of gravity keeps you on the ground. You don't have to do anything, it's just a law around you. Paul said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. In Christ Jesus, there is a law, and the Holy Spirit overrides your sinful flesh according to the grace and faith given to you. And that is a law. It's a law without you doing anything. And Paul says, don't put yourself under the law, because that's the one way that God can guide you and say, put yourself under the law, and the Holy Spirit can take away his peace from you a little bit and pull away a little bit to show you put yourself under the law. And as soon as you stop putting yourself under the law, he's back, he doesn't disappear, but he's bearing out fruits of peace in you, so he can control that to guide you in the way you're walking. But if you do nothing, you just sit on the righteousness of God, that the law just operates. You don't have to do anything to make the Holy Spirit work in you. It's your default setting that the Holy Spirit bears his fruit in you according to the grace of God. Right, that's it.
Right. Yeah.